All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. This week, tech and your health. Tonight is the town hall presidential debate out on Long Island. And two of the thorniest topics that President Obama and Mitt Romney are sure to discuss are Medicare and the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. We know that both candidates want to stop the runaway cost of health care. To try to do that, one effort supported by both political parties over the years is digitizing medical records. In a minute, why the multi-billion dollar effort isn't quite working out like many had hoped. But first, a look at the cutting edge in healthcare tech. In the last 3 years, venture capital firms have nearly tripled their investments in health tech companies to almost $1 billion. As Mary Harris reports, entrepreneurs here in New York want to make the city the center of medical innovation.
Dr. Susan Ganella sees about 10 patients a day. She prescribes medicine, she sends them to specialists, but she won't ever shake their hands or take their blood pressure. That's because she treats them mostly over email from her Manhattan apartment.
People will utilize you. People who wouldn't go to the doctor wouldn't get this thing that has been bothering them checked out, or this thing they've noticed on their skin looked at, or those kinds of things. You're bringing people closer to the medical community.
Dr. Ganella used to practice at New York Downtown Hospital, but now she works for a Williamsburg-based company called Sherpa. It counsels employers on how to save money on health insurance. And one way it does that is by making doctors available to their employees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but only online or by phone.
It's estimated that about 70% of ER visits don't need to happen.
Dr. Jay Parkinson is the CEO of Sherpa.
People just don't know what to do when they're in a bind. So if you give them guidance and fast track them into the proper resource, whether that's an ER or an urgent care center, things just happen faster, better, and cheaper.
Some call this new industry mHealth. That's mobile health. Some call it health IT. Whatever you call it, it's booming, even if it's hard to tell if it's making anyone healthier.
It'll be commonplace. You'll see your doc. He'll say, hey, I'm going to put you on this cholesterol medication, and I'm going to give you this adherence app, and oh, here's a exercise app, maybe a diet app, a smoke cessation app.
Ben Choder has his own health IT company, Haptique, which is working to convince doctors to prescribe apps. Choder mentors other would-be CEOs who are hoping to create the next big thing in mobile health. Take Victor Wang.
So it's a talking dog, right?
You heard that right, a talking dog.
Yeah, he's super cute.
Victor's company is called Gerajoy. It's an app for the elderly, especially those with dementia, who are encouraged to care for a digital pet, a dog named Buddy.
We can actually log, for example, when Buddy says, oh, my ears are itchy, can you please scratch them? There's like a response time to that, right? And if we're measuring there's a consistently longer and longer response time, we can actually help to diagnose the fact that this person's mental health is deteriorating.
It's hard to tell if a digital dog is the future of healthcare. And Jay Parkinson with Sherpa says the digital health marketplace may be getting too heady.
I don't place a lot of emphasis on health being digital. You know, having a health app in your pocket, I think is kind of nonsense. I do believe that using all of the forms of communication we use nowadays to interact with health professionals who can help you in real time is a huge advantage.
But it will take years to find out whether it's just an advantage for your company's bottom line or one that actually keeps you healthy. For WNYC, I'm Mary Harris.
Every time I go to the doctor, it seems like her office is more high-tech. Last time, my paper chart was gone, and she took notes on a tablet computer. That's progress, right? I'd always assumed that digitizing medical records cut costs and made medical care better because it improves communication between my doctor, any hospitals, and my local pharmacy. But do they? The federal government certainly thinks so. It's planning to spend up to $29 billion in incentives for doctors and hospitals to digitize their medical records. And if they don't, the new healthcare law will penalize providers starting in 2015. Ross Capel is a professor of sociology and medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's the principal investigator of its study of hospital workplace culture. He says digital records sound good, but
the problem is that a lot of the software out there is really clunky, is not user-friendly. In fact, it's very often user-hostile. And the structure of the market is such that the vendors of these programs are not as responsive to the needs of clinicians as they should be.
With consumer technology, if you don't fix it, the consumers just don't buy it anymore. Why is the medical IT industry so unresponsive?
Well, if you're a large hospital like Columbia Presbyterian or Mount Sinai or one of those mega systems, you're going to buy these systems and they're going to cost you about $150 million. And then implementation is going to take 4 or 5 years and cost you another $600 or $700 million. So you're looking at almost $1 billion. If you've spent 5 years and $700 million, you're married to the mob. It's not the kind of decision that you just chuck.
Paint a picture for me, if you will, of what a sort of good-looking electronic health care system could possibly look like.
The data could be shared with you, with your other doctors. Doctors who need it for one particular sort of practice, like ophthalmologists, don't need to know everything about your feet. They could configure the software in such a way that it focuses on what they need. And people could respond immediately to things that are clunky and inaccessible. I mean, I get sent screenshots every day by doctors where one said, how come when I was trying to order medication for my patient, for an 84-year-old man, I had to screen through something that said, does he need a fetal monitor? If the government would press harder, which it's beginning to now, on data standards, we need that kind of oversight at this point so that we can share the information about our health.
Professor Ross Capel is the principal investigator of the University of Pennsylvania's study of hospital workplace culture. Thank you so much, Professor.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And as you watch the debate tonight and listen to what the candidates have to say about healthcare, talk to me on Twitter at New Tech City. And don't forget to take this program with you as a podcast. Get it on iTunes or listen to it on our website at wnyc.org/tech. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.